Have you ever wondered why God told Israel to build the tabernacle? Was it simply a place of worship, or did it hold a deeper meaning? Every detail, from the golden ark to the bread of presence, revealed something greater. The tabernacle wasn't just a structure. It symbolized God's desire to dwell among his people. Today, Stephen will uncover the rich symbolism behind the tabernacle and its connection to your relationship with Christ.
After the space shuttle disaster that took the lives of American astronauts, the President of the United States quoted words from an old poem that went all the way back to a World War II pilot who wrote words attempting to bring comfort to the nation. "The crew of the space shuttle," the President said, "slipped the surly bonds of earth to touch the face of God." You know, that longing to touch or see the face of God is really a God-created desire in all our hearts. In fact, that desire to connect with the presence of God becomes a very real possibility for the Israelites as we turn now to Exodus chapter 24. Here the Lord calls Moses up to the mountain again, and the Lord says here in verse 12 that he's going to give Moses tablets of stone on which God has written out the law for Israel's instruction. The tablets will be engraved with the Ten Commandments that God had spoken to Israel, the same commandments, by the way, that they had agreed to live by just a short time earlier. Now, verse 18 here tells us that Moses is with the Lord on the mountain 40 days and nights. And we're going to revisit these same 40 days later when we study the golden calf fiasco that's recorded in chapter 32. But for now, let's focus on the Lord speaking to Moses in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 2. "Speak to the people of Israel that they take from me a contribution. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall receive the contribution for me." Now, you notice the Lord is asking, not demanding, that every head of household with a willing heart give financially. In fact, we're told here in verse 8 the reason why. "Let them make me a sanctuary," literally a holy place, "that I may dwell in their midst." The Lord goes on to tell Moses in verse 9, "Exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and of all its furniture, so you shall make it." Now, we're told here in verse 10 that the very heart of this tabernacle is the ark and the mercy seat, the lid that covers the ark. God says here, "They shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height." Now, a cubit in Moses' time was around 18 inches. So this ark is going to be a wooden chest about 3.5 feet long, almost 2.5 feet wide, and 2.5 feet tall. Here in verse 11, Moses is told to cover it with gold. Now the Lord gives Moses the purpose of this box, this ark, here in verse 16. "You shall put into the ark the testimony that I shall give you." Now, this testimony is the stone tablets engraved with the Ten Commandments. And Moses is told to put that cover, or that mercy seat, as verse 17 calls it, on top of the golden box covering those commandments. This mercy seat, this lid, Moses is told to craft it of pure gold with 2 golden cherubim carved, one on each end of the mercy seat, facing each other and looking down toward the cover. Cherubim is the plural form of the Hebrew word cherub. These are angels known in Scripture to stand closest to God in heaven. And this makes sense here in this design because in verse 22, God informs us that this is going to be the place where his presence will effectively hover on the lid of that mercy seat in between the cherubim. Now, here in the tabernacle, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest is going to come in here into this Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood of a sacrificial animal on this mercy seat. So God, in essence, is looking down on the tablets of the law inside the golden box, the law, by the way, that his people have broken during the past year. But he's looking down, as it were, through the blood that has been sprinkled on that mercy seat. The blood of that sacrifice. And with that, the people then have their crimes, their sins, temporarily covered by the atoning blood of this animal, which points, of course, to the final permanent sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who will finally and completely pay for the sins of the whole world. Now, we're introduced to the table for what's called the bread of the presence. Here in verses 23 through 30, the Lord instructs Moses to build a table, again with acacia wood, and overlay it with gold. This is a rather low, small table. It's only around 3 feet long and 1.5 feet wide and only about 2.5 feet tall. Here in verse 30, the Lord tells Moses, "You shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me regularly." So the priests are going to place 12 loaves of bread on this table, which represents the 12 tribes of Israel. These loaves are representing fellowship between the tribes of Israel and the Lord, and these loaves are going to be changed out with fresh loaves of bread every Sabbath day. Their fellowship is never going to grow stale. That's the idea. Now, beginning here in verse 31, Moses is told about a piece of furniture inside the holy place called the lampstand. The Lord says to Moses, "You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be made of hammered work, its base, its stem, its cups, its calyxes, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it." Now, we're told that the 7 branches of this lampstand will hold 7 oil lamps. Verse 37 gives us the function of the lampstand. The lamps shall be set up so as to give light on the space in front of it. Now, keep in mind the tabernacle is basically a large tent. It doesn't have any windows. It's going to be pitch dark in there and impossible to approach the presence of God or minister inside the holy place, just outside the Holy of Holies. And this lampstand is going to light the place up. Now Moses is going to turn our attention to the structure of the tabernacle itself here in chapter 26. We'll study the details that he lays out here later when we arrive at the book of Leviticus. But for now, when you read the description of the tabernacle, you need to picture it as a rectangular structure supported by gold-plated wooden beams. And over these beams are several layers or coverings. Now, when this tent is set up, it's about 45 feet long by 15 feet wide and 15 feet high. And let me tell you something. To somebody looking at it from the outside, the tabernacle is going to appear to be a rather drab, unimpressive tent. You see, what makes it impressive is the same thing that makes you impressive. God dwells there, just as he dwells you today as a believer. Your body is the temple of the living God, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Now, here in verses 31 to 37, Moses is instructed to make a curtain. He's told to embroider into the curtain cherubim, forms and figures of these warrior angels. This veil, of course, serves as a divider, separating the tabernacle into 2 rooms. The outer room where the priests minister, called the holy place. This is where the table and the bread and the lampstand are placed. The inner room, the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, we call it, that's going to house that golden box, the ark, with the mercy seat on top, effectively acting as God's throne on earth. So we see described in these chapters a tent where God dwells in a very special way on the earth. We have bread, which represents life and fellowship God desires with his people. Here's a large lampstand illuminating the darkness. Does any of this sound familiar to you? Beloved, all of it illustrates. It all points to Jesus who came to earth and dwelt with us or among us. Literally, you could translate that. He tabernacled among us, John 1:14 says. And Jesus announced that he is the light of the world. He announced that he is the bread of life. He announces he's the final sacrifice for sin. Now, we might not be able to touch the face of God or see the face of God today, but we can do this, as that old chorus sings, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
The tabernacle wasn't just an ancient tent. It was a profound picture of God's desire to dwell with his people. Each element pointed forward to Jesus Christ, the ultimate fulfillment of God's presence among us. In Christ, we find light, life, and fellowship that the tabernacle represented. That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called, In the Light of God's Presence. Looking for more ways to grow in your faith? Visit wisdomonline.org. There you'll have access to Stephen's entire Bible teaching library that includes hundreds of sermons from over four decades of ministry. Missed a broadcast? No problem. Each day's lesson is posted on the homepage so you can stay caught up. And if you're studying a specific book of the Bible, Stephen's sermons are organized by book, allowing you to easily find what you need. It's all free and available anytime at wisdomonline.org, so start exploring today. We'll continue through Exodus next time on this Wisdom Journey.